Hi, I'm Chief Bob Vasquez.
And I'm Dr. Jose Lugo Santiago. Welcome to Leaders and Futures. Let us have a new kind of conversation, one about leading as futures emerge, are yet to happen, or plainly need to be reimagined.
Someone has said that the best way to predict the future is to create it. Although it's impossible to predict the future, one thing is certain, you must lead in it. It's time to think differently about leading.
This podcast is powered by the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight.
Let's get started with today's discussion on leaders and futures.
Well, spring has sprung, Lugo. It is spring. Now the third or fourth or fifth day of spring. And, you know, the air is different in spring. I don't know why, you know.
I love it.
My birthday, which, by the way, I'm still expecting the card and the gift. It's on the way. I know it's in the mail.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was born on the last day of winter, which means the next day is the first day of spring, you know, and it feels different. I mean, I'm not that I'm older the next day, but the air is different. And, you know, I live at 7,500 feet in Colorado. So some of the landscape has changed because it's not white right now. But it could be any time. In Colorado, it changes like crazy. Unlike San Antonio, where you're at, where it's always nice and warm. The climate is at 65. You know, the temperature is 65 every day. You know, that happens. So
anyway, that's what people out there think, right? And yeah. Here, people in San Antonio are like, what San Antonio are you talking about? Yeah, yeah, this weather is very unexpected. But yeah. You're right in that it feels different, right? I mean, like today, the sun is out. And every time the sun is out, I mean, it powers everything, right? It powers the plants. It powers us as human, right? Because we feel like, oh, look how great. Yeah. It's almost probably, I think that what happens is we are so happy that we are out of this, you know, gloomy, you know, dark, you know, weather, and we begin to see some sun and we just get excited. And then we have a lot of it and we're not that excited.
And then you complain.
Yeah,
of weeks, you're going to be complaining about the heat and the drought and all that. So here's my answer, Lugo. Shut up.
I would say, you know what? Just enjoy it. You know,
get over it.
Get over it.
Campanelli taught me that. Get over it. But anyway, we're back in spring. Springtime. Time is important, evidently. I guess it always has been and always will be. But the topic I want to discuss with you, and we can argue a little bit probably, is a couple of episodes ago, we talked about what a leader should do to be successful, basically. And I guess this answers the same question, but there are some things that a leader should not do. And that is to say yes to everything. So a good leader, an effective leader, I'm going to argue with you if you want, says no. Not all the time, of course. And there's times when you can't. But if you can never say no, I think, well, in my experience, you're going to fail. We've known each other for, I don't know, 30 years, 40 years. Mm-hmm. And you have never heard me say no to you. And especially when I was working, because now that I'm retired, I can say no to anything, anybody, and it doesn't affect me. But there were times when I should have said no, because you know my thing, all in. I always gave 100%. But sometimes when you say yes too often, your 100% isn't good enough because you fail. Yeah. You don't have the capacity to do it. And I say, as a leader, when your followers know that you're willing to say no because it's a high risk for them if you say yes, I think they respect you. That, yeah, the boss isn't going to say yes to everything. Or the boss says yes to everything and, oh, crap, here we go again. And now my life is all screwed up because the boss can't say no. A leader, a good, effective leader, has to say no. Not all the time, but has to say no once in a while. When it's right.
What I see is it. So for me, when I listen to that, I think about the leader that I always say no, and the leaders that I always say yes. And I think about the disposition of the leader for opportunities. This is what I mean. There are some people, and you remember, you go through an organization and you needed something from a leader, and you know that anything you ask this person is going to say no. Hey, I would like to know. Hey, what did you know? Is this person a good leader? You know what I mean? So, and then you have
Are you talking about he's saying no to his followers? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly. So I am the follower, right? And yes, I'm going to with a request.
Yes, and I'm going to agree with you.
Yeah.
And there I've worked with those people that were jerks. I think that's the official term. Yeah. Who would say no to everything, cynical about everything. Right. You're right. Yeah.
That's not what you want to be at.
Correct. Absolutely not.
Yeah. So, and then the other piece of that.
But at the same time, Lugo, think about this. You know, I worked with a genius. I don't even remember if you know him, and I won't use his name. Mm-hmm. But this person, no kidding, a genius. And the followers of people that I was leading, that we were both leading, would go into his office and pitch an idea.
Right.
And every time until I straightened him out, he had a way of agreeing to the point that they would walk out of his office. They'd come over to me and say, hey, the boss just said we're doing this and this and this. Oh, crap. I got to go into the boss and say, sir, we don't have the time. We don't have the money. We don't have the resources to do that. And often, 99% of the time, he would say, chief, I didn't say we're going to do it. I just agreed with the idea. Well, they heard yes. So now they're saying we're going to do this because you agreed with them. Boss, you can't do that. You have to be, you know, you can't just give them the impression that you say yes about everything. There are some times when you got to say, and maybe not so much no, Lugo, as let's hold on, let's consider it. Youngsters, I think especially young followers, are going to say, yeah, the boss said yes because he nodded his head. Well, that's not really what he meant. So we got to be careful as leaders that we don't give them the impression that, yes, because we're considering the idea, that we didn't just say, yes, let's go with it.
So this is what I think about that. This is how you eliminate that. The issue here.
Throw them out of the office.
This is how you eliminate this. You basically, you know, I remember this chief one time told me, hey, a lot of people are going to come over, you know, the boss is going to come to you and is going to ask you these questions. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to do an analysis of things. And you have to understand that the answer is always yes. That's why he told me the answer is always yes. And so he further explained. And for that I made myself I changed my mind on these things. The answer is not no, the answer is yes. So, okay, explain. So he said, the answer is always yes. He's going to say, hey, we want to do this. We're going to do that. And so, okay. So we can do that if the answer is yes. And we will need, that requires a capacity of, you know, so many people. That requires a capacity of this. And it requires an investment here and requires this. According to what we have calculated, this requires that we will probably be investing about this so much over so much time. So the answer is yes. If we want to do that, it's going to require that we do these things. And then the person is going to say, well, you know what? Let's not do that. Let's do this other thing. You see? And so that thing that is a smarter way, especially when you are trying to lead the leader, right? Or lead the follower, right? In either way, the answer is yes, but you expect some kind of analysis. And so there are a lot of great things that people can do, but everyone needs to understand the context from where decisions are being made and what it's going to take to execute a decision. And this is what happens too. A lot of organizations and a lot of people have some amazing ideas, but they do not have the capacity. Well, they have the capacity, but they don't have the capability, because no one have really taught them how to take an idea from idea to execution, right? And that means that, okay, I'm thinking through this, and that's going to require this, this, and that. Yeah. And then this is going to require all of these tasks, and these tasks are aligned in a particular way, and each one of these tasks requires so much time and so many resources, so much scheduling. And when you are able to distill this idea into planning, and then go to the boss and say, hey, we would like to do this. And we think we can do it. So you go not only through that cascading process, but you're also talking about a feasibility analysis. Then the answer, if you can do it, is yes. But the answer could also be no if it's not feasible. The other piece of this, you started talking about time.
So you're saying, in essence, because you've said it several times, and I've got it recorded, yes, if.
Yes, right? And.
But not yet. Yes, if, because you just said, if all of this, if you got me the resources, time, all this, if, mm-hmm. then the answer is yes. Where now, especially if you're leading people and you're being led by somebody else, you just made the a contract, at least gave an estimate of what it's going to take. And if we have this, yes, if we have this.
But you see, that requires that you are a yes, a person who thinks about possibility. Because if you are the other kind of leader that we were just talking about, the answer is going to always be no. It doesn't matter what the analysis is.
Correct. But again, if we've said this before, Lugo, I taught you this 100 years ago. As a leader, you should never hire yes people. The ones that are going to tell you yes to everything, because they're bullshitting you. They don't even know what they're answering. They're just because they want to get ahead, promotions and all that kind of stuff. You've worked with those people. And that's basically what I'm saying. If you're that kind of person, you're not going to lead very well. And what you just said was, then if you don't have those resources, then the answer is no, because. So it's yes, if, no, because. And I think that there's value, and I can understand that. Someone telling me, no, Chief, we can't, because, okay, now you got good reasoning behind it. Sure, I'll understand that. We don't have the people. We don't have the money, whatever it is. But there's that because. And what I'm saying, Lugo, is when your followers know that you have their back, that you're not just going to say yes to everything at our expense, then they're going to follow you.
I think you have to lead with purpose, right? People always, need to understand that you are going to stretch them and make them exercise their muscles. They're not there to feel cushy in the organization. I've always never been that kind of leader. I don't expect to get my people to be comfortable in the organization. If we're too comfortable in the organization, we will fail and we will be disrupted. And we just cannot accept that in the organization. So I expect everybody to be thinking in the organization and moving and anticipating. So I'm not going to be there to expect them. I don't want them to think that I am there to. No, I need to provide organization, provide direction, lead with purpose, and they can expect that from me. And so that means that there are things that I'm going to look at. I'm going to look at the organization. And I'm going to see if we have the capabilities. I'm going to consult with my experts in the organization so I can understand when I can say yes and when I can say maybe something that I need to say yes to, but my ability to do that right now, I need to consider first time, because we may need to say yes to that, but we can't because we don't have the capability and stuff like that. So then I need to start thinking outside the organization and understand who can I partner with so I do not miss out in this opportunity. And yes, are they going to, and sometimes followers are going to be asking, oh, we can't do that. Why did he say? But then the other point comes into play, and that is because they have seen my kind of leadership. Leaders understand if the leader is competent, they will put their trust in it and say, well, if he said yes to that, we're going to support something we need to understand. And they will be able to try to get into this conversation to try to understand why we have to say yes to this particular opportunity, although it seemed like it's going to be a stretch. But they got to be a very good something plan out to ensure that organization does not break. And that's another point here, because what you want to do is not having the organization run at 100%, 100%, 97% of the time, because you don't have capacity to surge.
Right. Yeah.
And there are opportunities that you have to say yes, but you may not, you have very little surge capability. And so that you have to really think through, how am I going to engineer that so I can, just leap you know, from one place to another and win.
And that goes back win-win, especially since you say that with what we studied with Covey, that there's a difference between or the P/PC, remember that concept, that the capability to produce is in the people. And if you don't oil the machine, eventually it breaks.
Correct.
Right. And especially physically, mentally, you know, all that kind of, and I think emotionally it happens the same way, Lugo. And that's what I'm saying. You know, I worked with, I just had lunch with, or breakfast with him the other day, the best officer I ever worked with. His name is Sojourner. He's the one that hired me to work at the Air Force Academy. And there were several times that we saw him come back from the head shed with his tail between his legs, and he's worn out. I mean, physically worn out. And as we see him walking down the hallway, we all, the rest of us, the followers, get together and say, you know what? He lost. He went to bat for us. He lost. There's no doubt. We don't even have to ask him because we know. But whatever it is that he went to bat for us, he lost. But we respected him. And we continue to do even more because, yeah, he's going to have our back. He's going to try. And there were times when he said, no, we can't because whatever, you know. And I think, and what you were talking about is that builds trust. We can trust the boss that if we don't have the capacity, he won't stretch us to the point where we break. But he's going to challenge us. And I think there's a difference there. And again, you know, I've worked with some people that said, yes. Man, we don't have it, man. We can't stretch. You know, I can, I got to be at five places and I only have four people. One of them's going to, you know, what do I do with that fifth place?
You know, you heard the expression, right? That is a, you know, we used to talk about people who they say all thrust, no vector.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's a problem. You don't want to have that.
Yeah.
I think, and so that's what happens. So a leader that has purpose, right, has vector, the great leader should have vector and thrust. And that's what you want in your organization, right? Have the energy to achieve, but achieve because the person understands the purpose. And I think in maybe on the next episode, I think we need to talk about this particular thing that you mentioned in regards to the leader went for a bat for us and he lost. Right. Because I don't think people should ever be in a situation that they think the leader is fighting for them. I mean, if you're in an organization where the leader feels that they're fighting for them, there's a problem. That means there are two camps in the organization. That's not one team. You know, that's the different teams. And in my opinion, it begins to look like the environment is not safe for people to be there because you have somebody that has to fight for their people. That should not be. I think for us, when growing up, right, in the military, we think about, you know, advocating, right, and we think about informing of what the capabilities of the organization, the capabilities of people are, so we can say yes to opportunities. But when we get to the point where the leader is kind of defending their people, or that doesn't sound right to me.
Well, and since I raised you, you're wrong.
we should talk about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe next week we can talk about it. I don't know. But anyway, if you're going to ask me, can we go on another couple of minutes? The answer is no.
No. Cannot be done.
Will not be done. Let's talk next week.
All right. See you, Chief. Thank you for listening. We hope today's topic connected with you and help you reflect on the work leaders do to get out of a narrow focus on one future and into a broader range of plausible alternatives.
If you'd like to connect with us, find us at leadersandfutures.com.
And if you would like to learn more about leadership and future studies, we have several programs to help you at the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight.
Until next time, be great.